This is a Crowd podcast.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Hilary Mantel, more Todd Cantwell.
Oh, no. I know, okay, look, sometimes I do, like, I comically pretend I don't like these things. Like, it's a sort of a joke. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm playing it up for the cameras. That one I actively didn't like.
You do one better then. Go on, Jack.
Oh God. No, yeah. I refuse. Yeah, I refuse. Okay. I refuse this concept.
Look, Greg Fidgen, I'm so sorry for that. I thought it was great. I loved it. Keep sending them in. Ignore Jack. He wouldn't know a good football book pun if it hit him in the face. Anyway, hello, I'm James Bug, and we have a slightly different episode this week where we put the books down for a little rest, which I think is important before we embark on the grueling Michael Owen trilogy we're about to do, because it's time for another Football Book Club wider reading, and it's an Andy Crab special. Crab.
Oh, it's a weird slow chant, isn't it? I don't like that.
Was
he a particularly ponderous player?
It's like a sarcastic clap.
Yeah. I imagine that was really emphatic, because you might remember Andy Crabb. He's our favourite made-up 90s noughties footballer whose autobiography we're writing with Tom Fordyce, apparently. You've been sending in loads of suggestions already for some of the stories. So today we're going to catch up on everything we know about Crabb so far, including... get this, someone's written a whole chapter already. A football doesn't exist, a book that doesn't exist. We've already got a chapter. Incredible. Plus, we have another listener's moment in time, and we've got an extra special announcement for you. But first, let me introduce, as always, James Balgen.
Hello.
And friend of the show, Jack Bernhardt.
How dare you? Incredibly rude.
How are we all? We all okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Looking forward to this. Good.
Excited to chat about Crab?
I am excited to chat about Crab. It made me realise, as we were doing that chant, there should definitely be something where fans couldn't chant his name because everyone thought that they were chanting crap at the team.
Oh,
so if they all go Crab, 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 the team gets really upset. So they can't...
I've always thought that, though, with... So say, for example, at Spurs, you know those ironic players who never score? Like Stefan Freund. Whenever he got near, or Didier Zakora we had as well, Spurs. Whenever they get, you know, within like 50 yards, all the fans go, shoot.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, do they think we're booing them? I always wondered at like, if they're a bit worried about that.
Similarly at Arsenal, every time Mustafi got like within 40 yards of the goal and everyone started to lose their minds. It was really funny. Like, oh my God, what is happening? And they just shout shoot. I'm sure they know it's shoot because shoot is different from boo. It's a real... it's a real boo urn situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Are you saying boo or shoot?
Do you remember in Jamie Carragher's last game for Liverpool when he did it and he would never shoot ever, and then he got about 35 yards and the crowd went shoot, and he did, and he
almost
hit the post.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Almost
in his last game.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that would have been
like
amazing.
An absolute screamer. Yeah, it was brilliant. So I think they do know.
I wish I'd have been there. But I do think sometimes with, like, you know, some players who must, you know, it's the first time they hear it, especially players who come from abroad and they don't necessarily, they just hear that noise and go, excuse me.
Yeah.
It might take them, even if they get explained to after the game, like, I still feel like they must feel pretty bad for that 90 minutes. Let's be nicer to footballers. That's what we can do on the show. We'll be nicer. Let's make a nice Andy Crab chant. Anyone else got any other news? James, anything going on?
I got some... obviously, Crab is... he's a crustacean, but he's an aquatic creature. I actually have a semi-aquatic creature living with me at the moment.
I like where this is going.
This is one of the most bizarre segues in the history of the show.
Semi-aquatic creature. What's we're doing? Like a duck, a platypus?
I found... a little dried up newt in the garden, which was almost dead, and I resurrected it.
Oh.
And I'm temporarily bringing it back to life before I decide what to do with it.
Wait, what do you mean? You're not going to kill it?
I will toy with its life. His life is in my hands.
I want to release it, but I want to make sure I do it right.
Of course.
And make sure everything's above board and how it should be done.
Check with the local council.
It's in a little fish tank
that I've, newt ombudsman.
Arranged nicely. Yeah, I will. I've actually just Googled newt, and the top thing that says... Amazon, low prices on newt. So,
did you mean nudes?
Send nudes.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. How? So it just turned up in your garden.
Yeah, it was just under a plant pot, dried out.
Oh, poor
That's
little
grim.
Thing.
Don't know how it got there. Maybe a bird dropped it. Well, maybe a cat brought it. Who knows? It's quite far from the river, so
yeah.
I don't know how it got this far.
Big applause, James, for saving that newt. Very well done. And has it got a name yet?
Not yet. My dad suggested I called it Klopp, but I'm not that happy with Jürgen at the moment, so I'm open to suggestions.
Well, if anyone's going to have a good suggestion for the newt name, I think it's the Football Book Club listeners. They're the ones who are going to come up with a good suggestion. So if you've got any idea for what to call James's newt,
not a euphemism.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. Go on our socials or emails. You know what they are. At Footy Book Club Twitter, at Football Book Club Instagram, and on email.
I was going to say, that was a very confident thing to be like, oh, you know our socials. You can look them up. God, no.
Please follow us on all the media.
Please follow us.
FBC@crowdnetwork.co.uk as well. Tell us what the newt's called.
Name our newt.
Now, you join us on a very special day for Football Club, not just because James has found a newt, but because at time of recording, we just launched, get this, the Football Book Club Club, where you can join and get even more Football Book Club action than ever before. Just head to patreon.com/footballbookclub, all one word, to join the club. You guys can join the club?
But James, why would I join the club? What possible benefits could I get?
We'd love your support. We really would love your support and we really appreciate it. Anyway, you can kind of, you'll be able to chat to us, get in touch with us there, but also we're going to give back a few little things on there. So we're going to be making extra 20-minute bonus content episodes called Bonus Chapter every single episode, which we're going to release on the Patreon exclusively for our members. We're going to have a little members-only events, which we're going to organise in the future. Little,
what does that mean? I really want to know what that means.
Online
like a VIP,
Zoom,
like a VIP bar?
Well,
it's a bit like Eyes Wide Shut. That kind of
cool, love it. Love that
we're
idea.
We're going to wear a mask.
Got to turn up in a mask.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We'll all meet on Zoom, have a little chat about football books till everyone's hearts are content. We're going to, in between series, because, you know, sadly our series do sometimes end, we're going to release extra special monthly episodes just for you guys, where everything keep ticking over. You know, where we're,
you can
we'll
find out exactly whether James kills this newt.
Yeah, all that newt chat throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Please don't kill that newt. And
but hang in a sec, this kind of thing's got to cost, what, like £500 a month?
At least.
How much is it?
I would be upset if it didn't cost £500.
Well, I'm sorry to upset you, Jack, but it actually costs £5.03, which is, it sounds like a weird number, but it's actually because it's the cost of a used copy of Darren Huckabee's Hux. It's the going rate for that kind of book. So that's what we chose to do. Right. So it's for the price of Darren Huckabee's book, you can help support the show. And of course, you get a Football Book Club bookmark.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You know, actually a tangible thing on there. And there'll be loads more. Like I say, you can get in touch with us on there and you can communicate. Tell us how you want the show to go. Get button little polls and things like that. Be brilliant. Tell us how to do our jobs.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. And actually, we've just had our first ever people sign up to be part of the Book Club Club. It's exciting, right?
That's incredibly exciting. I can't believe these people are paying £500.
I know, right? Do you want to hear their names?
Yeah.
We should give a big shout out. A big shout out.
Let's tee them up like we're putting pressure on an error-prone goalkeeper.
Oh, well, like when they're doing a goal kick.
Kind of,
I love that.
Okay, you guys go. Bring me in.
Oh.
Tim Seeley.
Hey.
Stuart Gentle.
Yay.
MJ Keeble.
MJ Keeble.
MJ Keeble's in the house. There's a few of them. Andrew Parnell.
Yay! I sort of forgot how many... Oh, we have too many... We maybe have too many Patreon people fans for this.
This is the only time we can do this.
Tom Crowley.
Yay!
I know him. And this, we've got to do an extra special for this one. Because this was... So like I said, we've only just launched. These are our first few ones on there. But our first ever backer came in straight away, who will go down in time in history as no offense to other guys, but he's trust me... You're all our most special listeners, but
do you know
he
what?
In particular.
Don't even bother signing up now, because you'll never compete with this person.
But we do need to give an extra special shout out to our first ever backer. Let's have some ooze. Jamie Hassel Clark.
Yay!
You shit bastard. That's the thing they say. I got caught up in the chant.
That's the thing. Jamie, you're not a shit bastard.
I don't think
we absolutely love you. And we love all of you. Thank you, everyone who signed up so much.
That's so lovely.
Our first bonus chapter is already up online, James did some ASMR about getting a Michael Owen book in the post.
It was incredibly sensual.
It really was.
And we played a new game as well.
Yeah. We won't talk about that game. We're not talking about the game. We played a game called... you have to listen to it to
find
out.
It's fine.
But it was great fun. We're going to... So obviously, be more chat every week. And whenever we read a book, we'll go into slightly more depth. Anything we didn't have chance to say in the show, we're going to go into about that. So if you want to hear loads more depth on, you know, Neil Redfern, there's only one Neil Redfern. It's the place to go to. And as we say, all for the price of Darren Huckabee's Huck. So please, patreon.com/footballbookclub. Please join up for us. Join the Football Book Club. We're waiting for you. We can't wait to have you on there. Thank you so much. Okay, Andy Crabb. It's Crabb time, baby.
It is Crabb time, baby.
For those who don't remember, Andy Crabb, the genesis of Crabb, where it came from, here's when we introduced the concept to Tom Fordyce. So, Tom, as you know, we've read a lot of books on the show, some good, some less good, but we started to notice a pattern in them. And again, we cannot stress enough how these aren't your books that we're talking about. But as you can probably imagine, there's a template that appears in a lot of these books. So we started thinking, do we even need a real footballer to write an autobiography? Can we just make up our own footballer? Nice. We've been toying with some ideas. He's called Andy Crabb, and that's all we've got. Interested?
What's the Crabb story?
Well, that's the thing.
Era?
90s and noughties.
Premier League?
Definitely Premier League. Think Darren Huckabee. But we know that there's some life events that he has to tick off. Classic football autobiography things. He has to have a drunken night in a training camp abroad that gets messy. He has to have a mishap with a drug test. He has to be suspicious when a foreign manager comes in. He has to finally reveal the truth for an incident the press misreported. And, of course, he has to bump into Peter Reid at least once, as that happens in every book we've read.
Genuinely does.
But then Peter the rest is up to our listeners. The book's name, who did he play for, what did he win, who was his best mate. So if anyone's listening and they want to send in some ideas, let's write this book. So he's our fake 90s noughties footballer, Andy Crabb. Mm-hmm. Since we introduced him, you've come to us in your tens with suggestions for chapters for the Andy Crabb story. And they've been great. They've been really great, haven't they?
It's been to the extent where I've sort of worried that I'm not good enough to be on this podcast and that other people should be on it instead. So many great ideas.
Our listeners are really funny.
So many really, really funny ideas. And I think everyone's got into the spirit of it, which is really nice.
They have. We've been doing a thing called Crabby Thursdays.
Yeah.
Which no one else is calling it that.
It's not catching on
Thursdays, but luckily people are responding to it, which is nice. On our Twitter at Footy Book Club and our Instagram at Football Book Club. God, we're trying to sell everything today.
We are. Really? Oh, a lot of merch.
This is proper promo. Yeah. You want to buy the new? Don't buy James's new.
Everything must go. new.
But they've been so great. They really have. So if you want to get on there, send us messages, and also just to see what people send us in, they're brilliant. Here's what we know from the podcast so far, because we've brought him up a few times, obviously, mm-hmm. in different episodes. We know he played for Sheffield Wednesday, and he got Wednesday relegated, I think.
That was implied, but yeah, I think it was the idea that most Wednesday fans will remember him as a villain.
Yeah,
even
sure,
if he played for a long time, he's still a villain.
And that was as a tribute to Tom Fordyce, we said, because you know, he said he's going to write the first page for us, which is great.
You railroaded him into that.
Yeah. Would you write the first 100 pages, Tom? Oh, yeah, please, James. Yeah. Then George Ellick, who we had on to read Dean Wenders' book. He said he loved Championship Manager 2001, 2002, I think. Mm-hmm. And he loved all the players who, you know, were cult heroes on there, who were amazing on the game, but never went on to be quite as amazing in real life. Yeah. He wants Andy Crabb to be a player like that, which I think is a brilliant idea.
It's great.
You know, a kind of a Cherno Samba kind of player.
Or I remember it was 03-04 for me. Mohamed Zidane, he was amazing.
Oh, the Egyptian striker.
Yeah, he was so good.
I had a guy called Melvin McCrabb, actually, weirdly.
Oh, that is weird. That.
Yeah, that is weird. I'm not sure if he was real or not, but he was one of those players who popped up at some point.
Melvin McCrabb sounds like what the Beano would do if they had to like parody Andy Crabb.
Oh, you're Melvin McCrabb.
Yeah.
Stop Melvin and McCrabb. So that's what we got. That's what we've got from our guests on the show so far. But we've also had some brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stories from our listeners. Should we go through some of them? Some of our favourites?
Yes, please. Yes. So many good stories.
Let's go through. So first of all, what we did was we wanted to tick off different things about Crabb, but we started off with more general ones. So When he was a coach, he was convinced by the lads to go to the Christmas party as James Milner, only to bump into the real James Milner, and hilarity didn't ensue, which I think is the perfect level of these kind of stories that we're going to get in there.
Does James Milner know who Andy Crabb is? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, in this world, for sure, Crabb is well known enough. He's a Premier League.
I'm envisaging a moment where Andy Crabb says, "Oh God, have you come dressed up as me?" To James Milner, and James Milner says, "I have no idea who you are."
I love that. I guess maybe they didn't quite cross necessarily because he's late 90s.
Late 90s, and James Milner was a little bit later. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, and he probably wasn't playing in the same kind of teams against them necessarily. Probably his career was going downhill by then when Milner's was going up.
Yeah.
Ed Keevil on Instagram says, I reckon Andy Crabb has to play for Ipswich after Sheffield Wednesday. One blazing season with Marcus Stewart et al. Nearly reaching Champions League, followed by UEFA Cup and relegation the next year. That'd be great. Oh. He says that would fit Crabb's scathing honesty when it all goes wrong.
It's true. And I really like that Ipswich team from 2000, 2001. They were incredible.
Yes, they were
so good.
So that Sheffield Wednesday's got down. He's also got Ipswich, as you mentioned. We had someone from a Sheffield Wednesday's days, Chris Brazier, got in touch and said he considers quitting football early after a career-threatening injury at Sheffield Wednesday. Takes an inspirational speech from Chris Waddle in the treatment room to change his mind. They'll stay for him forever. The words were, "Remember, Andy, it's not about what you've done, it's about what'll you do next."
I think that Chris Waddle has to have made that speech to loads of players, and that's the first time it worked.
Yes, that's
and
great.
Every other Andy player is like, what are you talking about?
What'll you do next?
What'll you do next? Whereas Andy Crabb is like, your name is Waddle. That's why that works.
And talking of clubs we had, then we started honing in on, more specific things. So we said managers was one of the first questions we asked our listeners. You know, what managers would you like to have seen him played under? Any ones that particularly take your fancy in there, guys?
I like the idea, one of the things I like is that he talks about the idea that of Harry Redknapp buying him for a ridiculous amount of money, and that would then cause a financial meltdown at any one of the clubs that Harry Redknapp was at the time.
Yeah, that was a funny idea. That was from Lanky Lawyer, I think his name was, on Twitter, at Lanky Lawyer.
That's a very funny idea, because I can imagine that also, in the same way that Andy Gray loved to point out that he wasn't responsible for Wolves nearly becoming bankrupt, I think that Andy Crabb will have spent a long time saying, no, I'm not the reason that Portsmouth, you know, went into administration.
Yeah.
I'm not. I can't be.
A bit like Seth Johnson at Leeds.
Oh, poor Seth Johnson. That's basically all Seth Johnson is known for now.
Yeah, exactly. For just
and you can't.
Them.
The thing is, you can't really blame these players because they can't control how much money the people spend on them.
You can't blame Crabb.
You can't blame Crabb.
There was also, I think, Lanky Doyle also suggested he play for Pulis too, just for the baseball cap in the shower fighting. We had that in the Jermaine Pennant episode, didn't we?
Jake? Yeah.
I think, and James, that was a good story, that one. Any more sides on that? Brilliant.
I love the idea also that he manages to turn Pulis's hat around at one point, and that everyone stops in the changing room. They're like, what have you done? And Pulis looks faintly ridiculous.
Yeah, so I love the idea that we had a suggestion that just like Junior Hoylett follows Warnock around, and I guess Paddy Kenny actually, and Crankyar follows Redknapp, Crabb only follows Peter around. He only plays under him, apart from once when he had a loan move to Bishop Auckland. That's great.
That's a really funny idea.
That was Johnny Brick, I think, sent us that one. That is a great one. He says he scored a particular kite timer. He scored an own goal, which is now still to this day called doing a crab.
can I talk about an own goal that I used to score quite a lot when I was playing?
Please.
As a centre-back. Because I was quite quick, but I wasn't the best at controlling the ball. So what would happen usually is that the keeper would come, miss it, and then the ball be heading in. And it would look as if I was going to stop it because I was quick. So I'd run to the ball, and then I would try and hook it out. But, you know, basically the classic hooking it out of the off the line. But I would miss, and it would hit my face and go in.
Oh, you did that more than once.
That happened two or three times. Once it hit the post and hit my face and went in. And
so, it was doing a Bernhardt. Have you never heard of that?
If we can make it Crabb's thing, I'd be
That's what the crab is. That's doing the crab. That's doing the crab. I imagine doing a crab sign to be sideways for some reason. But
you'd have to turn your body sideways so you hooked it out. But it would hit me in the face.
Sure.
It's really sad.
Then we also asked our fans, nights out. He's gone on. So obviously that's a classic thing in footballers' autobiographies. We've had some great stories from the books that we've done so far.
We've both had some great stories. I mean, the one that I love is Perry Groves squirting ketchup at each other.
With Paul Merson.
If we can have anything like that, where they do something as dumb as that, I would love that.
Dave J. Probert said, Crab and Mr. Tumble were banned from several crazy golf courses after a night of drinking WKD Blue led them to inventing strip crazy golf, and Crab would often play to lose. Which is... playing to lose is such a funny way of putting that. He wanted everyone to see his... McCrab!
He's wanted everyone to see his Melvin McCrab. But I think I was saying that, like... Andy Crabb wants to clear up the fact that he didn't want to get naked in front of Mr. Tumble. It was just a very, very hot day. And
yes.
Because they were filming something for Sport Relief where they had to wear like big sweaters. So obviously by the end he was desperately trying to lose. So I think I think the press can say he was desperate to show Mr. Tumble his penis, but Andy is like adamant he just wants to clear that up.
I did not want... I was not fussed whether Mr. Tumble saw my penis.
That is definitely how we'll start the chapter.
Okay, yeah. I want to clear
something up here. Yeah. I didn't care if Mr. Tumble saw my penis.
There we go. If you want to write the rest of that chapter from that line, Dave J. Probert, please do. Tom Crowley says, my cousin saw Andy Crabb and Dermot O'Leary dropping bricks off the overpass in 2002, and he's sure it was them. That's our patron, Tom Crowley, with a great suggestion. The Football Library suggests the stories Vernon Kay could tell. So he really likes hanging out with, you know, Naughty's T4 presenters.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. The things him and Steve Jones got up to with June Sarpong.
Do you think he went in? Was he on T4 at one point?
Oh. Well, Andy Crabb's...
hard to imagine.
It has been mentioned. It has. So weirdly, you bring on to that. We kind of... moves us quite nicely on to some of the things he talks about. His idols growing up. And we kind of expected it to be like, you know, who was the footballer who you got really excited by? But, you know, Bex Luthor suggested that apparently Crabb's first love was actually singing, dancing and acting. He was a genuine triple threat. As a schoolboy, he had a small part in Jossie's Giants. I don't know what that is, but it sounds great. When guest star Brian Robson offered him a swig of Lucozade in the car park, his head was forever turned soccer's way.
That is an impressive act by Brian Robson to turn an acting child onto football just by drinking Lucozade.
So maybe he did have a kind of TV side to him. And also, actually, our producer Steve suggested that Andy Crabb... This was after the Alan Hansen episode we did, where it was all about gaffes and gaff tapes and gaff books and things like that. He suggested he had his own VHS called What a Load of Crab that no one watched, and it sold about four copies before being... Do you pulp a video? I don't know what you do with VHS.
You probably just have to kick it to death, don't you?
Something like that. James Kettle says he has to briefly part own a restaurant, but that world wasn't for him. And there's a great one from Colm Sean Healy. I know you like this one, Jack.
Oh, this one's fantastic, where it says, I'm just going to read it out exactly as it is because it's perfectly phrased. Was very nearly coerced into purchasing a timeshare whilst on holiday in Tenerife with the missus back in their younger days. Bumped into Ron Atkinson at a tapas bar soon after, who warned against it. Can't speak highly enough of Gentleman Ron ever since. I can visualize that chapter so perfectly in my mind.
I totally agree. It's amazing.
Absolutely. That's brilliant from Colm there.
That really is incredible. And we've had so many things like that when they talk about their kind of... I mean, we had Steve Bruce, we had Chris Kamara talking about their little ventures into businesses and stuff. And obviously, Robbie Fowler is very well known for having his property empire he has since then, and his lectures he does about it. So, you know, Andy Crabb's business portfolio is definitely something we're keen to explore in this. Not just on the pitch, but everything off it too.
It's definitely the idea also that you would bump into Ron Atkinson just in a tapas bar in Tenerife.
Yes.
Because we've had people... Was it Dean Windass bumping into Paul Jewell at Centre Parks?
Yeah, in a...
That kind of thing that we're looking
again,
for.
That was the first line of a chapter, I think.
That was the first line of a chapter. So I think
Paul Jewell once in a pool, indoor pool in Centre Parks.
Yeah, we could barely hear each other. It was over the water slide. Nightmare.
And then we also had... This is where it gets pretty big, guys. So we had enemies was another thing we asked. Who was his footballing enemy? Because, you know, as you mentioned in so many episodes... There's different players, random players that people dig out. So Stephen Gerrard, for some reason, digs out Clinton Morrison. However, so we had a few really good suggestions. We had South Standrew, one of our Patreon backers, suggested he had an irrational hatred of Dion Dublin, not because of football reasons, but invested in a flat he rents out in Crawley once he retired and felt overlooked for the Homes Under the Hammer job, which is great. And also, hints nicely at this TV career as well.
He's doing a lot of TV stuff. I think he really wants to be in on that.
He really does. Adam Farrell says, while at Sheffield Wednesday, Crabb, another Sheffield Wednesday story, Crabb was always known as the last one on the training pitch until one day Andy Hinchcliffe held his ground and refused to leave. The standoff lasted 40 minutes before Crabb needed to go for a wee. He's never spoken to Hinchcliffe since then. Brilliant. Most impressively, we were sent something by a chap called Chris, the Leeds fan. That's what he wants to be known as. So Chris, thank you for sending these in. He starts sending these brilliant messages all about rivals that Andy Crabb could have, and he came up with this idea of an ongoing feud with Stuart Ripley, which he started. So he sent us a few messages saying how it started with an off the ball incident. He sent us a few more stories, and we kind of ambitiously said to him, write the chapter, not really expecting him to do it.
I didn't expect him to do it. I feel like about, we should say it right now. It was a jokey thing, and
yep.
And we weren't expecting a huge amount of work to be put into it.
But less than a week later...
Unbelievable.
Chris, the Leeds fan, came back to us with a whole chapter for Andy Crabb's autobiography about the Stuart Ripley rivalry.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. And we'll be reading the chapter in full after the break.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't.
I actually love interaction with people.
I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, wider reading, the Andy Crabb special. So before the break, I told you a man known only as Chris from Leeds had written our first ever chapter in the Andy Crabb autobiography. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I want to hear it.
Is there any music we can play? Is there like some writing music? Some classical? So here it is. Chris, the Leeds fan, with the Ripley chapter. Here we go. March 1997. I'm having a great year at Wednesday. We'd gone to finish 7th, but I always fancied a cup run. Used to watch the cup final build up on telly with my dad and granddad. Brackets, they sent the women out for the day. It was a different time.
God, awful.
Immediately.
Awful detail.
Immediately Crabb. Very, very football autobiography. So I loved the FA Cup, but never got anywhere near it. Never passed the third round anyway. Naturally, I was buzzing when we beat Port Vale on pens to make the fifth round. Maybe this was my year. A few of us hung around after training to watch the draw when from the physio room I heard, hope it's Manchester. I peered round and it was Reggie Blinker. Fucking idiot. You want them to all draw each other. Let the big boys knock themselves out. I need to set them straight as this was the year of the crab. With three games from Wembley, Reg. This is the year of the crab. Could be the name of the book. With three games from Wembley, Reg, we want Russian and diamonds, mate. Even as I said the words, I shuddered at the thought of some non-league set of plumbers knocking us out on live TV. So it was proper chuffed to see Blackburn Rovers come out. Mid-table, no Shearer anymore. That'll do, Reggie, mate. That'll do.
Oh, my God. That is just such a perfect description. Like an inexplicable rivalry with someone for getting angry at someone for, for suggesting that they could play against Manchester United or City.
Great to have a Reggie Blinker rivalry. I mean, there's two rivalries in this then. Before you know it, it's game day. We're away at Blackburn, but we've beaten them already, so I'm confident. Me and Dave Hurst have the Guns N' Roses blaring out and we're pumped. Sunny day, big crowd, my element. I remember the opening stages being frantic, tackles flying in, chances all over, but it's still nil-nil at half-time. I'm cool, I'm feeling good. Spraying the ball about, nobody's got past me. Dave Pleat knows we're on top and gives the usual, get into them, lads, they're now, talk we've heard 100 times. But he's right. Second half underway and more of the same. Tight game, then it happens. Corner for Blackburn, ready to come in. I'm marking Stuart Ripley at the edge of the box and he bangs into me, elbow in the gut. Fucking Fanny, not having that. So I wall him up, grab his shirt and drag him towards me for a word. Whistle goes, halting play. Ref seeing the commotion, as if by magic, Ripley's on the floor.
Oh my god, this is nerve-wracking. What's gonna happen?
Dramatic music. Rolling around, grabbing his face. Get up, you Fanny. He likes to say Fanny, doesn't he?
He loves Fanny. Fanny is a good
it was a different time.
Yeah, that's what Crabb loves to say. I laugh as Big Uriah runs up. What's he doing? Why is he patting his pockets? What's in the top one? Why the F is that Uriah Rennie pulling a red card out of his top pocket?
Oh,
you're joking.
God.
He sent me off. This clown Ripley's got me sent off. I'm fuming. It dawns on me as Big Kenner and Pem start ushering me towards the tunnel. They think I nutted him. I'm ready for war. I'm wanting my teammates all in with me, but they're almost tutting. I know I'm done with Wednesday at this point. More on that later.
Oh,
scumbags. I'm off down the tunnel. Pleaty wouldn't look at me. I'm chucking everything around the dressing room, and then I hear the crowd. Blackburn has scored. Physio tells me, guess what? It's fucking Ripley curling one in. Game done. Down to 10, out of the cup. Fuck off. Still off my head on adrenaline, this new Red Bull drink that had come out. I'm on the... Very nice. Nice little reference to Marcus Hanneman. I'm on the coach home. Didn't say a word to anyone. Reggie tried to have a chat about Jesus, but I told him to F off and sit back next to the driver. I felt like John Rambo served a massive piece of injustice by corrupt authorities, and I was out for revenge.
That...
Pretty good so far.
That is unbelievable. So far, there's more.
So far, that's halfway through. You excited for the next half?
Oh my god, that's so good. The line, the line about, oh my god, sorry, the line about Reggie talking about Jesus and him trying to fuck
incredible.
Off.
It really is. When I read this, I was like, this is everything about this. This feels like a book we would read.
Genuinely.
It feels like a book we would read, and it'd probably be a pretty good one.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the missus read the papers to me the next day that I saw the photo. It was unbelievable. Ripley on the floor, peeking through his fingers at their keeper, and clear as day, winking as Rennie bounded over to send me off.
How do you see a wink on in the photos?
You can see a photo. Someone, I guess, you know, they did about Ronaldo. Do you remember Ronaldo in the Euros? It was on the back covers of all the papers.
I just, I was thinking it would need to be a GIF, but you know,
it's a really over the top. Well, sadly, in 2002, they didn't have any GIFs.
What if it was
newspapers.
The first ever GIF?
First ever GIF paper.
just Ronaldo winking over three pages. I remember the headline was called Little Winker, wasn't it? Remember that?
Yeah, Winker. Or so there's a lot more to this. It is really brilliant. And as a Crystal Leeds fan, then he develops this rivalry with Stuart Ripley up to a point where it really, really, really kicks off. Our paths did not cross for another 3 years. I'm now at City, a shambles of a season, and we end up relegated. More on that later. Ripley's at Southampton. Unbeknownst to me, he's a benefactor of the children's ward at Manchester Infirmary, the very same place I'm due to take presents in at Christmas in the build-up to our game at Main Road. I've gone to town, Tamagotchis and everything. Spent a fortune, but I have to remind myself, it's not for me, it's for the kids. And the fans will hear me talking about my good nature on the local radio, maybe even a bit in the papers. Always looks good when you're in for a new contract.
Oh my god, so cynical.
This is great.
Awful.
So I'm in the children's ward, and yes, in walks Stuart Ripley. Of course he does. He's got a Santa hat on top of his stupid face, and he's dragging a pallet trophy with a big red sack. Massive, it was. The room is full of hospital management types and local press. Then he clocks me. Oh, all right, Crabs. Nobody calls me that, except my wife, children, extended family, and teammates. I'm fuming. And Bobby Glass is in there. He's a well-known photographer, one of the first paparazzi types in Manchester who stitch players up on nights out and sell stories to the papers. He's the one behind the Dave Besson Flamingo Club incident, and he's why Kanu can no longer enter South Korea. He's all over Ripley. They've set this up, haven't they? They're up to something. They're trying to show me up and want me to smack him in front of poorly kids. Ripley starts dishing out presents to the poor buggers, one by one, with Glass snapping away, and he's pulling out brand new PlayStations. Must have been 30 of them. So generous, you've made my Christmas. The silly twats are falling for it. Glass even gets him to climb into one lad's bed, chews and pipes everywhere, and gets them to smile. I spot one of the Tamagotchis on the floor amongst the wrapping paper from one of the PlayStations, discarded amongst the old paper. That's it. I storm out. Bobby Glass is grinning and he's firing away with the camera. Bet he's loving it. But I'm out of there because without causing a scene for the kids. Revenge, now. No more waiting around for that 50-50 that may never come. I once heard a tale about the crazy gang at Wimbledon, where one of the lads called the coppers saying there was voices coming from one of the players' car boots. Three vans full turned up and smashed it open while he was training.
Oh my god.
There's my inspiration. But I'll go up a level. I know Ripley's motor. Stands out anywhere. I'll walk past Karma's Carlton Palmer. Rip open. What a great line.
Karma's Carlton Palmer.
Rip open a Tamagotchi and stick it up his exhaust. 2 minutes later, I'm over the road at a payphone. 999, what service? Not sure. Police? Army? I tell them in a Scottish accent. I've just seen someone put a suspicious bag in a car boot outside Manchester Infirmary. It had wires sticking out of it. I've walked past it. It sounds like something beeping in there. And I'm off. Scarpered. Long gone. The news that evening was hilarious. Long lens footage of a bomb disposal carrying out a controlled explosion on an orange porch. Porsche 911. Even better. Oh, registration. R1PPZ.
Oh my nice. God. So good.
Even better. In the background, you can make out Bobby Glass stood there snapping his old mate Ripley, getting carted off by the busies to answer some uncomfortable questions. Some mate you are. I fell back on the sofa with Candice. What a great name for his wife. Howling. I was unfolding on the TV and shouted, Tamagotcha, dickhead. Chapter title.
Oh my god. That is one of the greatest things we've ever read.
Incredible. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, I was traced by CCTV for making the phone box call and was sentenced to 200 hours of community service, which my agent reckoned cost me any last shout on making the England squad. It also turned out that Ripley had just donated the Porsche to the children's ward to raffle off for a new dialysis machine. So the judge wasn't best pleased. Shouldn't have winked though, Ripley. We don't do that in this country. Round of applause for Chris, the Leeds fan. Incredible.
Chris, you could definitely get a job as a... as a shadow, like a ghostwriter.
Get our job easy.
Yeah, you could easily get our job. I'm panicked about it, I'll be honest. That was so good.
Incredible.
So good.
I mean, guys, if anyone wants to write any extended chapters as well, please do get in touch. There's plenty more of the crab story we don't know. There's certainly things we still don't know about, you know, where's he from?
What does he look like?
That's true, yeah. His international career, which was touched upon there. We don't say any of the stories we've already touched upon, especially the ones you've sent in. Feel free to send us some extended chapters and we'll read them out on here because we absolutely love it and we want to put it all together and make this book. Andy Crab deserves it. Give us some crab!
Stuff us full of crab!
So, a few weeks ago, we introduced a new feature on the show called Moments in Time, where our listeners tell us a football-related moment that shaped their life. Remember Jack and James? We had a listener on called Greg, mm-hmm. told us the time he saw Martin Keown at Oxford train station. It changed his life.
Saw being the operative word. Didn't meet him.
Didn't meet him, yeah. That's a good point, yeah. And I'm delighted we're joined today for another Moments in Time, this time courtesy of Ben Miller.
Hi, my name's Ben Miller. And I bumped into Matt Letizier coming out of a TGI Fridays.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Ben, what happened that fateful day?
I mean, that pretty much sums it up. It was a kind of like two... It was a sort of very brief two-second like interaction, but it really did have quite a profound impact on my life as a Southampton fan. Matt Letizier, absolute hero. I was about 13 years old. I think it was sort of just after he'd finished playing. And so my immediate reaction when I saw him walking out of TGI Fridays was kind of like awe and, you know, a bit nervous.
Absolute of course. Hero.
But then that sort of quickly changed as I realised he had a sort of fairly sort of sheepish look on his face, like he'd just smashed a ribs and wings combo. Fridays, a bit embarrassed about it.
I would argue that Matt Letizia has no shame about the amount of food he eats.
We
know this from the podcast, having read his book, where he ate, was it eight?
Eight sausage and egg McMuffins.
Yeah, and nearly collapsed in training. So the idea that either it would have to be more than
eight, so much,
that pushes him into the shame level.
Was there any food left in TGA Fridays when he got in there, Ben?
I mean, knowing what I know now, I definitely would have spoken to him and asked him what he'd eaten and you know, made a big thing about it. But
yep.
At the time, bit younger, bit sort of didn't have the wherewithal to stop him and ask him what he'd had.
But if you could have said anything to Matt, if you had gone up to him and said to him, what would you wish you had said to him now?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I probably would have got him to sign whatever I had on, you know, a TGI Fridays menu. I just would have said, look, you know, we're playing five-a-side next week. Do you fancy it?
Oh,
okay, yeah.
That would have been great.
Each age is 12 to 16, but you know, could probably just about get away with it.
And that was a lovely moment in time from Ben Miller.
No worries.
Thanks to Ben for getting in touch with his moment in time. Make sure you listen to his podcast he has as well called Ultimate 11, where celebrities choose an all-time 11 of their club's cult heroes. It's a great listen. Next week on the show, we're joined by the brilliant broadcaster and star of Socially Distant Sports Bar, Steph Guerrero, where we're reading Craig Bellamy's Goodfella. It's quite the book as well. It really is quite the book.
It has. I've just finished it. Oh, boy. Yep. Oh, it's, boy.
It's great. And Steph's a brilliant guest. Make sure you check out that podcast. It's going to be great fun doing that, I'm sure. If you've read that book or any book you've read, or if you have any Andy Crab stories, please get in touch. We really want some more. As you mentioned,
anything around the Manchester Infirmary. I think as many hospital-based stories as we possibly can get.
Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, or email fbc@crowdnetwork.co.uk. Please send them in there. And I've got a little poll, actually, I'm going to put up, because we've got a few suggestions for titles for the book, and I want people to vote on what they think would be the best possible title for our book. So, do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, first option, Smash and Crab.
Oh, that's a strong start. Because also, I can imagine that Andy would have been involved in a couple of games where they definitely shouldn't have won.
Yes, I agree.
That he'd be sort of like rubbing his nose in it.
I imagine it's Smash and Crab, colon, you know, Andy Crab story or something that.
Smash and Crab, colon, I taught the bastards, didn't I?
That's nice. Option number two, clawed one back.
Oh, like a claw.
Yeah, like a crab claw.
The problem is the way you said that made it sound like a football player. Like, oh, you know, clawed one back.
Oh, like
Abby, like Abby Wambach's brother.
Claude McAlealy and Abby Wambach. Yeah. If they got married, it'd be Claude Wambach.
Claude Wambach, yeah. Sorry, that's what I heard.
Okay, yeah. Well, Claude Wambach is another option. Always sideways, the Andy Crab story.
See, I had a similar one in mind, like walking sideways to the top.
Okay, that's very good. That's very nice.
It doesn't really work.
The thing about Always Sideways is it sounds very like he's very aware of how bad he is.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then we've also got Fishy Tails. Another one we've got. Andy Crouch's Fishy Tails. And finally, Hucks Through Adversity to Great Heights 2. Is the other option. Jump on our socials to vote in that poll. We're going to release that today on there. But if you do want to hear us chatting about a book and you're not sure what episode to listen to, Jack, you got any suggestions of old Football Book Club episodes?
Yeah. You know what? If you really like Football Book Club and you want to go back and listen to a good one, go for the Grant Holt episode because it's cracking. The book's cracking. We all have a great time on it. We talk about how Grant Holt talks about his top five chocolate bars, and there are some very rogue entries in there. Mm. And also, Tash talks about how she potentially saved Grant Holt's career.
Yeah, I love it when Tash plays some role in these books, which happens quite a lot. I wonder what role she can play in Andy Crabb's book.
Yeah, I reckon Tash must have saved his career at least a couple of times, or ruined it. I can't.
She probably work in the hospital or something. But yeah, and also we spoke to the author of that book as well in our first wider reading.
That's true. Yeah.
Sure, yep. Go back and listen. That's a great one. It was a really good episode and a great book. A great man.
Great book, great man. Strange Taste in Chocolate.
Very strange. And please, if you want to join the Book Club Club, head to our Patreon, patreon.com/footballbookclub. We're about to go chat for an extra 20 minutes over there.
Ooh.
This and that'll be out on Wednesday. We're going to release it, I think, over on our Patreon, so you can enjoy that. Make sure you jump on there. Guys, thanks for joining. Any last words?
Tamagotchi, you bastard.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, and James Bowden. It was created by James Bug, and it's a Crowd Network production. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is used on a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back next week with our episode on Craig Bellamy's Goodfella featuring Steph Guerrero of Socially Distant Sports Bar. Make sure you check it out. We look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.